Let me read for you the gospel lesson that's appointed for this day. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the word of the Lord. My fellow believers, who would have guessed that it would happen? Entire houses torn off of their foundation, literally floating down a river until they break apart and submerge in the torrent. Who would have believed it would happen? But it did happen. In central Michigan, about a month ago, they had such excessive amounts of rain. Not just one dam, two dams, large dams, broke apart. And a rushing torrent came down the river and flooded the city of Midland, Michigan. Homes were ripped from their foundation. The city of Midland had their water rise 9 feet above flood stage. And if you know that area of Michigan, it's very flat. 9 feet of water does a lot of damage. Our ELS church in town had floodwaters coming up above the tops of their pews. Can you imagine if that were to happen here? That's what it's like. That's what it's like when there's a raging torrent. Who would have guessed that it could happen? But it did happen. Large sections of our nation were flooded with not one, but two successive disasters. The first one came, as we all know, in the middle of March, when COVID-19 arrived and led us to have to quarantine huge parts of our country. And then in May, a second flood came our way in the form of riots in a great number of our major U.S. cities. And who knows about the long-term effects that are going to come from this? We can only begin to guess. How many people are going to have a permanent loss of a job? How many people are going to struggle with anxiety or depression? Families being split by their feelings and their deep opinions regarding all of this. The consequences are going to be ongoing. In fact, I read somewhere where it's predicted that over the next number of years there could be as many as 150,000 suicides because of all the turmoil that's coming upon our land. Whenever there's a torrent or a flood, it's always going to bring destruction, and it's always going to bring chaos. And the only hope that you have when that happens is that your life, as well as your home, is built on a firm foundation. So I'm going to ask you, how are you doing? How are you weathering the storm that's beset us? Have you been managing okay? If you have been weathering the storms of life that have been going on around us, well, you better have a solid foundation. In fact, and without a foundation, you're not going to survive it. Here's the good news. We have a solid foundation. Those who are gathered here are celebrating that foundation. The truth that we're going to learn today about the foundation of your life is that only Christ's teachings give you a solid rock foundation. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to put before us people who lie and live falsely, and we're going to see that their lives can only cave in. On the other side, though, Christ's teaching and those who live by it have a life that cannot collapse, even in the face of the worst disasters. So let's dig in to Matthew 7 in a Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is basically a chance for Jesus to put out clear truth and compare it with the lies and the misconceptions that are about. Let me give you an example. It starts out with the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor, that section of Matthew. And those Beatitudes tell us what true piety really looks like. And then Jesus goes on. And he talks about clarifying what's real and true and what's not. What is true murder? It goes beyond just mere violent behavior. It starts with our minds. True murder starts with hatred in our minds. He goes to clarify what is true adultery. It's not just immoral actions, it's also lust in the heart. Love, how far does true love extend? It extends all the way to our enemies. That's real love. And Jesus keeps going on, example after example, in the Sermon on the Mount. And when he gets to the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, where our text is, his finishing point is this. Truth is hard to come by, but only truth has permanence. So that's why there is a great big warning Jesus puts out. Watch out for false prophets. And we ask, well, which ones? Well, Jesus doesn't mention any specific examples of what a false prophet might be. And that suggests to me that false prophets are all over the place. And they are. False prophets are manifested by churches that tell lies in God's name. An example. Yesterday, a family came in and I baptized their little baby. What a great source of joy that was for all. But you know, there are some churches that'll tell you, you can't baptize that. In fact, that baby can't have true faith until later on. The Bible never says that. And yet that's what they teach. What qualifies as a false prophet? Misinformation that appears on everything from internet blogs and Facebook posts. A false prophet can simply be a friend who makes you feel guilty about wearing off-brand clothing. A false prophet can be a teacher in school who tells you that your parents are all out of touch and you don't have to listen to them. People who speak like that are dangerous. And this is why they're dangerous. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. They don't literally eat your flesh like a wolf would, but they steal away your spiritual life. They want you to walk down the path, the wide path of destruction and hell. Why would they want to do that? Well, my mom explained that to me a long time ago. She had a phrase, and you've heard it, misery loves company. The people whose lives are built on something other than Jesus Christ are in fact not happy. And they want you to join in their misery. So how do you recognize a false prophet, or I often like to call it a lying spirit? They're wearing sheep's clothing, after all. Well, you recognize them by what they teach and by what they do. Jesus calls that fruits. Look at the fruits of their heart. He asks the question, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? You can recognize a lying spirit because they tell us to do the things that God tells us not to do. You can recognize them because they teach the things that God doesn't teach in His Word. The reason why their fruit is so different is because the foundation of their lives are so different. Their lives are built in the sand of human opinion instead of the bedrock of Christ. How do you know who they are? They'll reveal themselves soon enough. Their words will contradict the Bible. The things that they do will be different from what God's people do. And soon you're going to discover that you've been attracted to all the trimmings of their life. You've been attracted to their wealth, their popularity, or attracted to their talent. You're going to realize that those things don't matter. What matters is the foundation. What is their life built on? Can you trust it? Why is it so important to distinguish lying spirits from your family of faith? Well, because the work of lying spirits will not endure the judgment of God. Jesus says so. Every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Or uses another picture. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You see, here's a little point about houses you've probably never thought about. In dry, normal weather, all houses look serviceable. All of them look like they're just fine. That's the way it looks like in good days. But it's when you have torrential rain, when you have flooding, that's when you can tell when one house is strong and stable and secure and the other one begins to fall apart. And so it is with people. People whose lives are built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and His teachings stand when the judgment of God comes. The judgment of God can take any number of forms. It can take the form of a tornado. It can take the form of a pandemic. The judgment of God can also take the form of the day in which you breathe your last. And the thing about all of those is that they can all come tomorrow or even sooner. If I'm living on a sandy foundation of human self-righteousness, if I'm trusting in human achievement and human opinions, I'm doomed. I have no hope when the judgment of God arrives, because excuses don't work before God. He knows our hearts, and He knows when we're not founded on Him. We want to be founded on something much more solid than common excuses and majority opinion. We survive God's judgment built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And why does that stand in the face of God's judgment? I can give you a story to help appreciate the truth that I'm going to come to. You've probably all heard of something called the Brooklyn Bridge. It connects Manhattan to Brooklyn. It goes across the East River in New York. The Brooklyn Bridge was built a long time ago. It was built in the 1880s. And the man who designed it, John Roebling, in order to build the massive towers that had to be built for the world's first large suspension bridge to work, called for something called caissons. What's a caisson? Picture a great, big, huge barrel cut in half. And then they took and they sent those barrel halves, up the caissons, upside down all the way to the bottom of the East River. And then they sent men down there to work in that dark, muddy, messy place. They had to dig out hundreds of cubic feet of mud and silt and just disgusting, murky. That wasn't the half of it. Because all they had down there to be able to see were oil lamps, terrible hazards for fire. The other problem had to do with the level of pressure, air pressure in there. It was great air pressure. It caused the workers to get sick. It caused them sometimes to fall into paralysis. Several men even died from it. But they were all willing to sacrifice. If there's going to be a great and reliable bridge to connect these two great cities, it takes a sacrifice. And because of their sacrifice, two towers rise up over 270 feet. And now, 140 years later, six lanes of traffic are able to go back and forth, even to this day, because of the great sacrifice that was made. How are you able to stand in the day of God's judgment? It's because of sacrifice. Not the sacrifice of a number of mere human beings, but the sacrifice of the God-man. Jesus Christ came here. He first of all sacrificed His will. Through 33 years, He did only what His Heavenly Father did, never a selfish thought or action. I can't imagine it. It's an impossible thing for any of us to imagine. But He did it. And He goes on from there. He eradicates the filth and stinking guilt of our sins by going to the cross and by enduring the full punishment for all of our sins. Because of that great sacrifice, Jesus Christ forms a foundation for our lives by clearing away all of that guilt and sin. Only Christ's teachings and only Christ's life are the solid rock foundation for our lives. And that building of Jesus Christ cannot collapse. One more thing, then we get to ask. What does Jesus mean exactly when He says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock"? What does it mean to put Jesus' teachings into practice? Well, Jesus gave us part of the answer in John 6:29. He said, "This is the work of God, to believe in the one that He sent." And even this believing is the act of God, the Holy Spirit, working in our hearts. By trusting in our Savior God, and especially our Lord Jesus Christ, we are doing the work of God. Even more, when we honor the truths that Jesus places before us, when we constantly hear the Word of God and keep it, we do the work of God. And James would remind us of another thing. Don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. When our lives are built on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, when we trust in only Jesus Christ for righteousness before God, our lives are on that foundation. And then, when faith reflects and radiates the powerful work of God in our hearts, and we begin to act like and think like Jesus, we become willing servants of God, doing His will, then we have something that stands in the face of God's judgment, secure, lasting, through all time and for eternity. People of God, we have been through great difficulty these past 3 months. A flood of distress has come into our lives. Years from now, I would not be surprised as your children and your grandchildren study history and they learn about the year 2020. I would not be surprised if they might ask you, how did you survive the year 2020? And you'll be able to say, I survived it because my life was built on the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. I knew that nothing could fail me because I had that. Won't that be a wonderful witness to give to them? I'll bet you can't wait to tell your children and your grandchildren how Jesus has been the foundation of your life, not only now, but through all of your life. Amen.